Hi, it's Patrick Cox here with a podcast about nicknames and a particular question about them. What happens when a nickname takes over? Most nicknames, they aren't a problem. They're fun. I like Ike, 007, Snoop, Brangelina, two for the price of one. And then there's that subcategory of nicknames, acronym nicknames. I've always liked La La Land for LA. There's also former president W. I can't do the accent. Is a single initial an acronym? I have no idea. But what about the city now known in many quarters as NOLA? Part acronym, part abbreviation. It's become really popular, especially since Katrina, which is sort of weird. I know someone called NOLA, and she gets given all kinds of paraphernalia from New Orleans. Baseball hats, bumper stickers, and they say, "Save NOLA." I guess they were very popular in the months after Katrina. Well, Nina Feldman, she's a reporter based in Louisiana. She's been looking at the history of this particular nickname and its growing popularity, and along the way, asking herself, is it a good idea for all of us to adopt this stripped-down nickname that slides oh so easily off the tongue? Here's what Nina found out.
Jamie wanted a taste of the real New Orleans, and we just couldn't say no to that face.
This is a commercial from the New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Corporation.
So Betty says, oh yeah, that's Betty. You're going to want to do this alligator thing.
This ad is part of a 2013 marketing campaign to rebrand New Orleans as NOLA. That's New Orleans, N-O, and Louisiana, L-A.
Everyone's NOLA is different. Follow yours.
Mark Romig is the president and CEO of the New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Corporation, the official promotion agency for the city. He said they decided to go with the term NOLA because it appeals to a new generation of visitors, looking for a different type of experience.
Well, someone who is looking for a vacation spot where they want to go with a book and sit by a pool, that's not probably the type of individual that normally comes to the city. We're a place that you want to get into the culture.
Romig says that the term NOLA helps visitors do just that. It makes the place feel more intimate and personal. It sounds like a name.
It's like that best friend that you create when you come here. You're dancing with NOLA in the middle of the night. You're enjoying Café au lait and beignets with NOLA.
While its popularity might be new, the term itself is not. NOLA first started to appear in the early 1900s. There was a NOLA film company, a fraternal organization.
Found a sheet metal outfit called NOLA. There was a theater on St. Claude Avenue in the 1950s.
That's Tulane-based cultural geographer Rich Campanella. He says the use of NOLA grew in the 1960s. That's when zip codes caught on, making it easier to send letters. Campanella speculates that people didn't want to write out the whole name of the city and state, and with zip codes, they didn't have to anymore. 30 years later, the local paper jumped in.
In the mid-1990s, the Times-Picayune adopts NOLA.com for its URL for its website.
And that sets the stage for when Hurricane Katrina hits. People from all over the world become interested in what's going on in New Orleans.
And just about every journalist and researcher and citizen who seeks information on it finds himself going to NOLA.com.
New Orleans was on the map in a big way after Hurricane Katrina, and young people started volunteering, visiting, moving from all over the world. Many of them called this place they discovered NOLA.
So what's going on here? One hypothesis I have is that it seems to speak the language of the millennial generation, which grew up with infotech abbreviations and acronyms, which coined LOL and WTF, and which gravitates toward brevity for the purposes of texting and emailing. And so I think there was a natural alliance between this incoming group and this new nickname.
When Campanella says incoming group, he means transplants, like Claire Cannon. She moved to New Orleans from New York 3 years ago to get her PhD at Tulane.
I live in Uptown, near the infamous Snake and Jake's.
Cannon is 29 and lives with two cats. One of them she named NOLA.
I think it's a beautiful name, and it's really fun to sing NOLA, NOLA girl.
But it's about more than just the sound. It's also about Cannon playing tribute to this time in her life.
So I'm very much and transition here in New Orleans. I probably won't settle here. And so I wanted to mark and commemorate my time here so that wherever I live next, I'll always have this kind of reminder of my time in New Orleans and how it was my home for a while.
Ben Berman, also 29, was born and raised in New Orleans. He says it drives him crazy when people say NOLA.
If I'm out of the city in some other part of the country and I tell someone I'm from New Orleans, and they'll say, oh my God, I just love NOLA, or I was just in NOLA a few months ago for a bachelor party.
Berman says for him, NOLA represents something more than just a nickname.
It carries this weight of so much of the changes that people have seen post-Katrina and the way that they feel like so much of the city that they loved before, they don't really recognize anymore, and it's not the same place as they remembered.
The Louisiana Secretary of State lists 1,750 businesses that include NOLA in their name. The number of those businesses that registered before Hurricane Katrina? 134. Campanella says that relying too heavily on acronyms and abbreviations can be dangerous.
They reduce the complexity and the linguistic legacy and the depth of the original terms, these ancient French terms and native words, down to a couple of crisp, truncated syllables. It's not too romantic, is it?
Whether it's a URL, a first name, or a way to brand the city, NOLA isn't going anywhere. At least, not until this town is ready for a new nickname.
Nina Feldman. And Nina snapped a couple of NOLA shots that you can see at pri.org/language. And when I say NOLA shots, one of them is of NOLA the cat. Wow, this is a first for the pod. I'm pushing an internet cat picture. Not a video, mind. I do have standards. Now, if you've ever studied a language, you've almost definitely experienced a particular type of bliss. The bliss of discovering expressions that don't exist in your mother tongue. Words and short phrases that convey something that your own native language can only express in a sort of long-winded, literal way. The internet is full of these expressions. We did a series on them ourselves called Eating Sideways. Here's a really good example. You know that feeling when you get when you wake up from an especially haunting nightmare, sort of clammy and unnerved? You know that feeling. As far as I know, English does not have a word for it, but Indonesian does. It is kekau. Take that, English. But as languages giveth, they also taketh away. And so with that language you're learning, maybe you live in a place where that language is spoken. You're using it every day, making these blissful discoveries. But there'll be gaps where the second language cannot express something that's quite straightforward in your mother tongue. It's something Pei Yin Lin comes across a lot.
I have to try to talk in English a lot of time.
Pei Yin Lin is an artist and designer from Taiwan. Mandarin is her first language, but she spent several years in the UK studying at the Royal College of Art. That's where she ran into this problem of experiencing an emotion, a feeling that came easily to her in Mandarin. It had a word, but there was no equivalent English term.
And it takes such a long time to describe it, and usually you won't find the chance to do it.
Now, Lin has also experienced the reverse, an English expression that doesn't easily translate into Mandarin. But as an English language learner, she was more interested in English, or maybe she just noticed more about how English was constructed. And I imagine that also in London, at a place like the Royal College of Art, you're surrounded by people from all over the world who are thinking about English in similar ways. Why isn't there a word for this emotion that exists in my language and culture? Why isn't there a word for it in English? It's a good question because English is supposed to be such a great importer of words from other languages. We don't have a word or a good word for, say, the prevailing cultural attitude of a particular time. No? Okay. Well, German does. Let's nick their word, Zeitgeist. But it doesn't always work. There are gaps in English. And Pei Yin Lin wanted to map this. I'll post links so you can see her series of what she calls emotion word maps. She includes words and phrases from many different languages here. A Dutch one, a Danish one, a Korean one, etc.
The Korean one sounds like chon, which is an emotional attachment between friends, family, or even towards objects and animals. It's a very ancient thing, this attachment between friends and family. Basically, it doesn't exist in Europe, this kind of bonding. And the Dutch one and Danish one, which is this really comfort and coziness of being at home with friends and loved ones.
Pei and Lin. Like I say, I'll post links to her maps at pri.org/language. The words are categorized, by the way, according to Parrot. That's with two T's at the end. The Parrot Classification of Emotions, one of several competing categorization models for the range of human emotions. And I got to say, Lin's is a more satisfying presentation than the usual thing that you see on the internet, namely a clickbaity listicle of untranslatable foreign words. This takes something that's basically already out there. There's nothing especially new here, except that it focuses it down just to emotions and lays it out by borrowing a psychological framework. Okay, that's it for today. I'll see you on Facebook at the World in Words page or on Twitter. My handle is Patry Cox, PatriCox. The other Nina, not the NOLA one, Nina Feldman, but Nina Porzuki. She'll be back with the next pod episode pretty soon. Hope you're enjoying your summer if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, or your winter if you're underneath the bulge. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.